Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can just come into your presence this morning. And we thank you for your holy name. And we also, Lord, just think about how you have blessed us and continue to bless us. And Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that you just open up our hearts and our minds, that you just make us teachable right now, Lord. I pray, Lord, as we look at the subject of the brevity of life, you would help us, as the psalmist says, to number our days and consider that. And Lord, I pray that it would help us to take life seriously for the gift that it is and for the time that we have. Times are short. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your son, Jesus, who died that we can have freedom to live for you. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. It's good to see you. Last week I missed you, kind of. I did. But it was fun. You know, it's fun to go to another church and it's not their faces that you know, and you can kind of get away with saying things that, you know, you normally wouldn't say in front of your own people. You could be a little blunter, I guess, because you know you're leaving. You know, I don't have to come back to that, right? But you just want to encourage, pray for the church in Sutter Creek. We want them to find a pastor. It's an older congregation, 25, you know, faithful people, but they need a pastor, and it's just hard to get one. And so we just want to pray for them. And so it's been a pleasure going up there and filling in for them. And Charlie's up there this week. Pastor Neely was up there for 2 weeks. So, you know, it's been nice that we've been able to help them out. How many of you have heard of the Kentucky Derby? Everybody, right? Great transition, huh, Pastor Neely? The Kentucky Derby was established in 1875. It's called the Run for the Roses because the first couple races, they sent roses to the race. They wanted to make it the official flower, and then someone made a blanket out of the roses, and they put the blanket on the horses, and it became the Run for the Roses. And it's very interesting. They lay it on the back of the winner, but it's called the fastest 2 minutes in sports because that's how long it takes for the horses to run a mile and a quarter. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. It's the fastest time was ran by the horse named Secretariat. I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie, but the movie is really good. But he ran it in 1 minute, 59 seconds, and 4/10. That's fast. You think about that there's only been one other horse that's ran under 2 minutes in the entire history of the race. That was in 2001, and he ran it at 1:59.97. So Secretariat is still almost 30 seconds, like a 3/4 ahead of that. I mean, no other horse has even come close to it. It was so fast. In the Bible, when we read the Bible, we see metaphors about life being a race. It's a race. We see it several times. Paul talks about it. The writer Hebrews talks about life being a race. And the reality is, that every stride that we take in this race that we're in, we come closer to the finish line. And I'll just ask you a question right now as we start this sermon, and we're going to look at the brevity of life. How many of you would say life so far has gone by pretty fast? Huh? I mean, I just turned 53, and I can't even say those words. And then I got Pastor Neely up here, 84. We got... Right? Just think about it. Just think about it, how fast life has gone by. This morning we're going to continue the series of growing in the means of grace. And that's what we've been talking about, growing in the means of grace. Growing, using the means of grace. Growing in the Bible, knowing prayer and fellowship. And those, what are those things that impact those basic means of grace? this morning I want you to consider the brevity of life. The brevity of life. Life is short and we want to make it count. How many of you want to make life count? To mean something. To amount to something. The means of grace help us to grow in Christ. And I hope as we look at the brevity of life, you'll consider how to make the most of the time that you've been given. First, let us consider life. We don't like to think about life coming to an end, especially in our culture. It just doesn't even, the word death, we don't even like saying it. I even hesitate saying it even now. Death comes. We push through. We push the whole thought of death out of our minds. Just think about it. You don't think about it. Your friends don't like to talk about it. Nobody likes to bring up the subject. We push it out and we live like we're going to live forever. We all do. And I think there's a reason for that. It's because God has placed eternity in our hearts. In Ecclesiastes, it tells us this, that he has made everything appropriate in its time. He's also put eternity in their hearts, but no one can discover the work of God has done from beginning to end. But the reality is, we're all running a race. And some races are longer than others, but in the end, we all cross our finish line and exit the track. All of us do. Even the longest life is too short, isn't it? I mean, we just feel it. And it doesn't matter how long someone's been alive. We just feel like something's been cheated. And we feel that way because we were made to live forever. When you look at the Garden of Eden, you had Adam and Eve. They were meant to live forever in the garden. But remember that God warned them in Genesis 2:17, but when you must not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will surely die. He warns them. And we all know the story that Adam and Eve just disobeyed God and they died. Just as God said they would. And we have all been dying ever since. Because of the fall, death came into the world. And because of that, everyone dies. We all die. Life begins and ends. And death always comes too soon. Moses said the days of our lives add up to 70 years or 80 if one is especially strong. Priscilla's superwoman. And Edna. Both of them. At best 80 if you're especially strong. But even one's best years are marred by trouble and oppression. Yes, they pass quickly. And we fly it away. That's what Moses said in Psalm 90:10. We need to consider life. And we need to consider our time. You know, I can't believe it's been 10 years ago. But in April 2009, I was at home. It was in the early morning. And I got a call from Dr. Cachard. And you guys don't know who Dr. Cachard was. But he had just performed a biopsy on me. Just 2 days earlier. So you can imagine that I had two growths on my thyroid and my neck. And he did a biopsy. So I was expecting to hear from a nurse. I did not expect to hear Dr. Cachard on the phone. And I can remember the conversation very well because he told me that I had two tumors on my neck and they needed to be removed immediately. And I said, okay, that sounds good. I didn't really think about anything, just tumors. Okay, we'll just get them out, you know. And then he said, I'm sending you to the cancer center in Sacramento. And when I heard that word, I paused. Because that thought hadn't entered my mind to this point. And I said, Dr. Cachard, are you saying I have cancer? And he said, yes, you have cancer. And somewhere in that conversation, I ended up on my knees beside the bed. I felt the weight of it. I didn't realize I was on my knees till the phone call was over. But I was thinking, wow, that's something I hadn't thought about. I finished the call, and I got up, and I went outside. And I had been sitting outside reading my Bible, enjoying the April weather, and I picked up where I was reading, and I read these words. It's out of Psalm 78, 39. He remembered that we are made of flesh, and that we were like the wind that blows past and does not return. And there was a heaviness there that I realized. There was a weight that landed on me because I realized life was short. And that even though I will probably survive this cancer, something down the road is going to get me. It's just a reality. It's a fact. And life is short. And I realized that day, sometime down the road, my life is going to end. And it was something that I look back now and I see as a gift. You can say that's craziness. And I say, but you know what? I'm thankful for that because it opened my eyes to this reality. And I started to live differently. I started giving thanks for the days that I have. God opened my eyes, and now I think about the time that I have left. I'm conscious of it. I'm conscious of it. We need to think about how we spend our time and how much time we have. I don't want us to obsess about, or you know, someday we're going to die. I don't think God wants us to live that way. But he does want us to be conscious that this is going to come to an end. And what are you doing with the time that you have? That's what's important. What are you doing with it? Because we don't know when it's going to end. So we need to consider that there is an end. Psalm 90:12 says, teach us to number the days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. I mean, that's good wisdom, isn't it? I mean, understand that that's going to come a time. You know, he says, number my days. Help me to number my days so that I have wisdom. We don't want to use our time to indulge in sin or actions that take us away from God, but we want to spend time in things that will bring us closer to God, bring us closer to God and closer to other people. I think it's fitting, especially in the middle of Memorial Weekend, when we honor and reflect on those who gave their lives the ultimate sacrifice. They give their lives so that we can continue in our freedom. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way. They gave up their freedom so that you can have freedom. And we think about that. This should move us and cause us to reflect about the gift of time that we have so far. It's fitting to think also on the flip side of that coin, and I would hope that you do this, is that you would also think about the time wasted in your life. Time wasted. The time that could have been spent sharing your gifts and your talents that God has given you. Gifts that are neglected or opportunities that have slipped by you. And I don't say that to shame you at all, but it should motivate you. I would hope. I'd hope you'd look at that and you would say, you would think about these things in your heart and you would pray. And I pray that God would stir your hearts and a desire to take the rest of the time that you have and use it wisely. Use it. I would also hope that you would repent of wasting that time and you would turn to God and ask God to forgive you and to use you. And to use you in any way that he sees fit. Because here's the fact that we say we serve a gracious God who forgives, and he will rightly and gladly set you back up on your feet. He would love for you to come to him and say, use me, Lord, in any way that you see fit. Because he will. He'll put your feet up on a rock. And just remember this. It's never too late to serve. It's never too late to serve. It's never too late to call somebody. It's never too late to reach out and to love someone and share someone with someone the love of Christ. It's never too late. It's never too late to redeem the time and to serve others and to pray for others. I mean, a lot of people have physical ailments that can't get out and do things physically. But listen, you can pray for people. Prayer is powerful. We can pray for people. It's not too late to live in a way that honors God. We want to make our time count. We want to make our time count. The reality is, you don't know when the time will come when our lives are finished. Jesus reminded the disciples, he said this, "You also are to be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour they do not expect." I don't know how many of you, I get people that ask me all the time about end time stuff. Anybody ever read anything or see anything about end times? Right? You all do. I know you do. You got YouTube and all that. There's always somebody saying, you know, this is a sign for some end, or somebody's announcing a date or something. And people will come and ask me, what do you think about that, Pastor Steve? And I'll say, here's the reality that I know. Jesus said he's coming, right? We all know that. So in your lifetime, whatever time you have, one of two things is going to happen. Ready? You ready for this? Jesus is either coming to you, or you're going to Jesus. Right? And you know what the big question is? Are you ready? Are you ready for that day? And we're to live expectantly that it could happen at any moment. Jesus tells us to be watchful, be mindful, be sober-minded. He tells us these things because we don't know when the time will come. But we're to be ready, to be watching, and to be ready. As Christians, we're to live expectantly, keeping ourselves ready. I can't help it. This is just for me, and you can take it any way you think about it. But I always think like, man, what if the Lord came on Wednesday at 2 and I wasn't even expecting it whatsoever? What was I doing? Would it be honoring to God? I mean, that would scare me to think what I was doing wasn't honoring God in some way. And here I've got to explain myself before I even get through the door. I just kind of just makes me think sometimes. I don't know. You don't have to think on that, but it's something that I think about. I'm thankful for this reminder. I hope you're right now. I know you're probably thinking this is more like a funeral service, you know, than anything else. And you're right in some ways. But we have to be reminded of these things. We do, because I'm thankful of the reminder, because there's an urgency of time, isn't there? There is an urgency of time. We live in a time when God is in decline in America. The fastest thing, the fastest religion or belief that's rising in America is non-belief in God, atheism. It's the fastest growing. We live in a time when evil is called good and good is called evil. Do we not? I mean, we see it all around us. We live in a time when hopelessness and anxiety for the future is on the rise. You guys have any anxiety about the future? We all do, right? We worry about what's going to be here for our grandkids and our kids and life and what's going to happen in the next 20, 30 years. We think about those things now, and there's a lot of anxiety about it because you know how I know that? Because prescription drugs are given out more than ever before. Alcohol sales are higher than ever before, and everybody's smoking pot. They're all trying to, this is what it's not, I'm just looking at it from a clinical thing, is those are all things to help people cope with anxiety and hopelessness. They're not an answer. They're certainly not going to help you in those areas. It's just going to make things worse for you. But people, that's what they're turning to, because why? Because they don't have Christ in their life. They don't have hope. They don't have a sense of peace about the future. No matter what happens, I know that God's in charge. I know at the end of the day, everything works out because God said it would. Said everything's going to work out according to his plan and purpose. And I have to trust that, right? I mean, I want to believe that with all my heart. I have to. Because it gives me hope. And it gives me peace. It gives me peace. People need hope, and people are looking for peace. And guess what? In Jesus Christ, we have the Prince of Peace and the living hope. He's those, both those for us. Somebody was asking, you know, why are you a Christian? Why do you read your Bible? And I was thinking, because it gives me stones up under my feet. I mean, I don't know about you. I can feel like I'm in quicksand a lot of times. And I love standing on a rock when things aren't good. You know, I might get knocked around a little bit, but I'm hanging on to the rock. It's not going to sweep me away. It might beat me up, right? Some of you feel beat up sometimes, but it's not going to wash me away. I want you to consider making your time count. To give yourself to the Lord. Dedicate time to reading, understand Scripture, because it'll help you know God. It'll draw you closer to Him. You'll know Him better, and that you'll be able to understand the things around you, especially just knowing who the person of Christ is, hanging on to the promises of Jesus. Spend time in prayer for those you love. Spend time in prayer for those you love. Pray for those who don't know Jesus. You should have a list of people that don't know Christ, and you should be praying for them. Pray for the opportunity to share with them. Pray for them. Spend time seeking the Lord. Spend time asking for forgiveness. We should always be asking that. But above all, when you're in prayer, be thankful. Be thankful. You know, write out your prayers. I know I shared with John, who's not here today, John Cacuzzi. He's going battling cancer, and you know, he was so depressed. And then we were talking once, and I was telling him about sharing your thankfulness, and he's kept keeping a journal of all the things he's thankful for, and he said it changed his whole view. His whole view. Being thankful for things changes things. Be thankful for the small things and the big things. Just be thankful for life. Most of all, make the most of opportunities you have. Build into other people's lives. I mean, there's people all around you. Don't be so busy that you can't build into somebody's life. Take the opportunity to build in your life. Share the love of Christ as you learn, as you read the Bible and you learn Scripture, and as you pray, share that with someone else. It's meant to be shared with somebody. Share with them. As you draw near to Christ, draw others near to you. Seek out fellowship with other believers. This is important to be here on Sunday morning. It's important to be in church. It's important to the fellowship with other believers, just not in church, but outside of church. Because we encourage each other in this room. We need each other. The older I get, the more I realize how much more I need other people. I need people around me. How many of you need to be encouraged sometimes? I love that. I was just sharing with Joanne. She gave me a card. It was a very encouraging card. And as long as I've known Joanne, I've never heard her say anything that wasn't encouraging. And I just wanted to thank her. I thank her again. I love being around people that are encouraging, right? I have enough negative Sallys around me. You know, I need someone else to kind of come along and say, hey, everything's going to be all right. You're doing a good job. I like to hear that because it encourages me to do it. We should be encouraging others. Reach out and connect with friends and family and people around you. Don't hold any grudges. I like to say mend fences. You know, there's fences that we have with people that just need some mending. And we just need to fix those. Write cards. Make phone calls. Make connections. Christ died to give us freedom to live in this life. He did. He died for you to have freedom to live. You know what he gave you freedom from? Slavery of sin and death. See, as Christians, we don't have to fear death. In fact, if anything, we should look forward to going home. But in the meantime, we should be sharing the love of Christ. We should making relationships with others and making them important, encouraging them, walking with them, and helping each other. Make the most of your time. If there's one thing I would want you to think about before you leave here, is make the most of your time and to finish well. To finish well. The best you can. But I want you to think about the brevity of life. I want you to take it serious. But be encouraged. Jesus said there will be trouble in this world. But I have overcome the world. Be encouraged. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your life. I thank you for, Lord, just opening up our hearts and our minds this morning. Lord, just help us to be mindful of the brevity of life, the shortness of life. And help us, Lord, just to see every day as a gift from you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us a life now that we can live abundantly, not so much in material things, but Lord, just in knowing that sin and death no longer rule over us. And we have no fear of death. And that we can live this life to the fullest, Lord, for your glory and honor. And that we can share the love of Christ with everyone around us, our friends, our families, our neighbors. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to carry peace and joy wherever we go. The peace and joy that we have in you. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.